Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the podcast that is out here ready to steal your heart and your time, but mostly your time. My name is Matt, and I'm definitely not the first or even the third, but I'm definitely the worst.
And I'm Brad, and I just want a big gold steampunk combination lock chest for my little diary.
Deal, diary.
I want to go through 15 steps and the threat of an explosion just to write down my latest entry.
Dear diary, almost died trying to update you today. Flamboyant. Well, speaking of things I'd like closed around my face. Listen here, you're here, we're here, everybody's here. We are all kind of literate, a little bit literate. You can read. We're here today to talk about Lupin the Third, the First. And that's that's a little bit confusing, I know, but hey, that's just what the movie's called.
Sounds cool to say.
It is. I mean, it does, but then it's like Lupin the Third, the First, the movie, because then if you go like Lupin the Third, the First, then it's like, what, the first series? Or no, it's the first movie. Oh, you mean the first movie? So like the Castle of Cagliostro? No, the first movie. Oh, that's not the first movie? No, I mean the first movie, the one from 2019. They're like, oh, see, that's how that can get confusing.
You know, now that you got into it, yeah, I see where that comes from.
Yeah, that's why it's confusing to me. Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit.
But not me, because I have a big brain.
Okay, Mr. Big Brain, do you want to tell the listeners that this is our second time recording because of your big brain? Yes? You want to tell them what you did?
No, I'm good. That's going to be just kept in the vault.
Kept in the vault. Locked away in South America, among other things. But anyways, before we dive into this movie, I mean, we'll dive again. We just finished the movie like 30 minutes ago.
But they don't have to know that.
Yes, they do. They need to know. We reflected upon the movie for 30 minutes and thought about what we actually thought about. Well, thought about what we actually thought about. Holy shit, Matt. Talking about literacy. Do you even know the English language, you stupid fuck?
Such philosophy.
Such eloquence in one man.
You ever just think about thoughts?
You ever just thought about a think? But, you know, as usual, before we dive in, you know, get like a little bit, 5 minutes of extra time asking Brad what he's watched, experienced, and he tells me some video game, right? Let's do that. So, Brad, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been perfecting my art of procrastinating anime until it comes down to the last minute. I'm getting myself trained up for the seasonal Olympics like I do every few months. It's like, oh boy, that time's coming up where I'm going to have to watch 5 shows in 2 days. And I'm pumped.
So have you been, you still on that Destiny grind?
Yeah.
Why are you yaying? Do you not like it?
No, Destiny sucks, man. But it's fun to play.
Then why are you, well, like, you're playing too, yeah? We talked about this already.
Yeah.
So what sucks about it?
The whole sunsetting procedure. It's like every season they introduce new weapons and armor. And then from previous seasons they sunset it, which means you cannot upgrade the score. So for a lot of PvE content, it's effectively useless.
Oh, that sounds stupid.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that they got rid of the whole Red War campaign to make way for new expansions.
Uh-huh. That is free to play now, right?
Yeah.
I might hop in on that.
And that's the best part, is because I'm not going to pay a damn penny for this game without the way... I don't support its model.
Yeah.
But I play it because I like the armor and the weapons, and I'm basically researching for cosplay potential.
Oh, I see. I think we've talked about this before. You're not a Bungie fanboy, so you're just not hopping on for it because it's Bungie, yeah?
I was a Bungie fanboy when they were working on Halo, which, in all fairness, was their only product for a decade. And, Titan is fun, though. Playing as Titan, I literally just walk up to a guy and punch him to death.
I like the Titans that could throw the hammers that exploded.
Yeah, you still got that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, then that's definitely my, that's my bag right there. It's my bag right there. What the fuck am I on?
Crayon munchers, rise up.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is the part where I interject my little, my useless little bits of life that have
Wait,
happened to me.
Before you do, what have you been watching, Matt?
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, watching-wise, I'm doing my seasonal thing. I'm still, you know, I just started bottom character again.
So Disney.
I finished the quintessential quintuplets. I watched the first season in like 2 days, and so I could have an extra beef for my seasonal, for the seasonal review, but I ain't watching the second season, Chief. I'm not doing that to myself.
Yeah. Was it also to get some context for the profile pick that you picked?
Yeah, everybody was doing group profile picks, and I wanted to be a part of the thing. Mm. And then I didn't want to make myself look the fool when I didn't know what the show was from. So I watched it, and just, it wasn't bad, was not bad. It was just very tropish, and at this point, anything that just reiterates any sort of old ground that I've seen tirelessly amount of times, I'm just done with.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I've also started Monster. And I'm sure after this, I'm going to try and actually watch some more Lupin.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Especially the woman known as Fujiko Mine, that little miniseries, but that's just because...
Mm-hmm.
And outside playing, I've been playing. What have I been playing? Skyrim? Yeah, Skyrim. I've been playing Skyrim.
Oh, yeah. You've been playing Skyrim.
I've been playing Skyrim. I played... it was on sale for like $10, so I bought One Piece Pirate Warriors 3 for the Switch, and I've been playing that. Love me a good Musou game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like Hyrule Warriors. Didn't you get Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah, I got the Age of Calamity. And that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those Musou games are really fun, making you feel like big, powerful dude.
Big, powerful dude. Just turn brain off and press button. Don't even know what I'm doing half the time. Like, I know the combos and all, but I just use the same combo, and it works pretty well. And then the game's like, hey, you gotta go over here. They're taking the base. And I'm like, oh, fuck. But anyways, yeah. Been doing that. It's a casual, fun little game to just play while I'm doing something, like sitting on the toilet, and I don't want to focus on anything. Can't focus on my phone because I still haven't gotten that back. So maybe by the time this episode comes out, I'll have a phone, and so I won't just be so alone. It's funny how... just a small little boomer rant here. Phones don't disconnect me, people from other people. I legitimately feel more alone without the phone now.
Yeah.
I can't go on social media and see what people are doing. I can't hop in Discord. It's like fucking AIM. I get off work and I immediately run up the stairs to my computer and go, what are people saying? What are people saying? Are they talking about me?
But does that instill the 90s feel that we've been all longing for?
No, the 90s suck, dude. If I get in a car crash, if I get, like, kidnapped, I'm going to fucking die. I have no phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can do nothing. This is literally, the fact that we're meeting up right now is a wonder, because I had no means to plan this out at all.
You lose your phone. It's like, God, it's like I'm Amish.
Well, speaking of planning things, let's talk about master thieves who plan things really well.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Lupin the Third, the First.
The movie.
The movie. The series. So, Lupin the Third. Do you know what Lupin the Third is? I hope you do, because I'm going to assume that you don't need an explanation.
But if you do, Lupin the Third.
Lupin!
And... I'm going to be that guy who says it as it's pronounced, so I expect to hear a lot of pretentious French, Lupin.
Well, if you're going to say it like it is in Japan, you'd call him Lupin.
Yeah, but if I do that, I might get, you know, put away by, I don't know, someone. I don't want to do this bit anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say, who's going to cancel you on your Instagram of 10 followers because you never use it?
I basically cancel myself on a daily basis.
You did. That first record, I was like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
So, Lupin the Third is a world-class master thief, a gentleman thief, as he would call himself. A descendant, likely, of a family of thieves with Lupin the First, or Arsène Lupin being his grandfather, who is also known as a world-class gentleman thief.
You know Arsène Lupin is a fictional, like, is a fictional character, right?
Oh, yeah, he quoted himself as that being his grandfather.
Yeah, but, like, it's originally a character from French writer Maurice Leblanc.
Yes, I also watched the video you sent me.
Okay, damn! I'm just trying to maintain some fucking discussion here. I don't need this shit. I'm going home.
Matt, wait, come back.
What? What are you gonna do?
Okay. So in this adventure, Lupin the Third is after a golden book, which has a book inside of it. It's a puzzle book with a paper book inside of it. And the paper book has words written on it in different languages that talks about a super... well, not a super weapon, but a super device that does things. It's supposed to be, like, for good. But we only see it used as a weapon. And he is working with his crew, his lovely motley crew. And I'm assuming the new girl, exclusive for this movie, Leticia.
Leticia.
Anyways, they go on a nice jaunt through, was it France, and then
they go to France, then they go to the sky, then they go to South America at some point.
Yeah.
To go meet up with a certain character, but we talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And first notable thing about this is that while it is based on the anime, which is based on the manga, this is a fully CG work, and my
God,
is it beautiful.
This movie seems particularly like somebody just looked at Pixar and said, I'm tired of fucking around, Pixar. And then looked at DreamWorks and said, I could shit on you, DreamWorks. And then I feel like they did.
They did. I mean, just from a lighting and cinematography perspective alone, a lot of the camera angles and dolly shots they use in certain scenes, as well as the lighting, especially the nighttime car chase scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Yeah.
So beautiful. And subtle details that you could pick up, like sweat on a character, on the side of a character's face, the dust that would be on the windshield of a car.
Oh, man. Looking at their clothes will get you actually erect.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll see the stitching, you'll see... It's just
the highlights on the crease of the their leather pants.
Yes.
The fluidity of the hair when the wind is blowing, except for Fujiko. They cleverly put her in an Amelia Earhart cap so that they wouldn't have to run 10 Pixar servers just to render that out.
True. They were like, I don't have time for doing long-ass hair.
Yeah, which is respectable. No, it's important to know your limits.
Yeah, it's respectable. There's just a lot of stuff going on in this movie that's visually pleasing. You know, the particle effects during certain scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Just the shine, the meticulous motions of the gears. Leticia's thighs. Fujiko, all of Fujiko.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Even Jigen.
Damn.
Jigen is looking fucking hot over there.
Damn, everybody's looking hot.
Shit, even Goemon with his exaggerated extra Asian features that are hallmark to the questionable times of the 80s and earlier.
Yeah, I think when we watched this movie at some point, you said something about how the movie original characters looked so much more different than the characters who were pre-established.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it now, yeah, I don't know how they would put Leticia in a 2D Lupin series. There's a lot going on in this movie. This is not, it's called The First. For, I'm assuming that maybe they wanted to start up a movie franchise or something. Because
which I would welcome.
I would welcome it too, because this movie is a spectacle. And it's, there's a lot to be said about this movie as far as just the sheer spectacle of it all. The final fight scene is something like, during the course of this movie, I kept thinking, you know, this is really the power of anime and animation. And while I know some people will be like, it's 3D, it's not anime, but you can see the anime inspirations all over the place. I mean, I think Lupin just seamlessly transitions into CG amazingly well. They didn't feel compelled to just strictly hold the characters to their original designs, and they sort of morphed them into being uniquely set into CG. Because, you know, Jigen, you know, he looks a lot scruffier in his 2D counterparts. You know, his beard's a lot thicker, his hair looks a lot more, you know, it looks a lot different. But they said, you know, we're gonna light up on the stubble, light up on the beard, and it makes him look that much more appealing. But it still carries the original spirit of the character.
Yeah.
And there's a lot here that I didn't write this down, but I would like to know, Brad, just a quick mm-hmm. question for you. So let's say that there was an anime that you what is some anime that you could make that you could see transitioning into CG as well as Lupin did in this example?
Oh shit. Ooh, that's a tough question.
But it's a good question.
Hmm.
I'll just name off a few that I feel like could transition really well. I feel like an Agretzko could be a solid CG, you know, CG series or something to that effect.
I think something that would make a good transition is, well, the main point would be, is if you, there has to be a reason that you'll want to transition it to CG instead of have it be 2D. And something like Lupin the Third, where it's an action adventure, that's really where this where the CG can shine. Looking at what we already have for CG with Land of the Lustrous, where a lot of the action scenes took advantage of the 3D plane camera, where you can have the scene set up and just move the camera around, and you can pick and choose your angles and your cinematography as you please.
Yeah.
And that's where Lupin the Third, the First, really shines, is you have all these action scenes and, like, the plane chase scene especially.
Yeah.
But seeing the planes turn around in the air, and something about the textures that they have with the planes and for the environment is just so stunning. Mm-hmm. And you get to keep in mind the spatial relations with all the characters and the vehicles. It does well because the hard rule of CG animation is that everything has to be moving. And it's a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're so accustomed with 2D anime of everything being a still shot with sometimes the only thing moving being a mouth. But mm-hmm. There's an uncanny valley sort of trait about CG where if something isn't moving, you will notice it. And if you see any bad CG movies low-cost CG movies, then that tends to happen a lot and you will notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the early days with the first Toy Story movie, you'll notice that too, where every character is moving subtly just a bit, whether it's a head tilt, an arm movement. If they're not talking, they're still moving, because if they didn't, they would look like stilted statues. So seeing that for Lupin the Third, the First, they're forced to have all these characters make motions, and then they take that to the extreme level of all these exaggerated movements that is characteristic for Lupin the Third, the anime, the manga.
Well, now that you have released your doctorate, your thesis on CG, I'm going to say my answers.
Okay.
And mine are JoJo. Mine is JoJo. In One Piece. No, listen here. Listen here. Also, Gantz did an excellent transition into CG. With Gantz Zero. What?
I just love the dichotomy. I give my doctoral thesis. I like, okay, my answer, what do we do, JoJo? But I mean, you do have a valid point. The dude, when I, before I even watched JoJo, all I knew about was the openings, mm-hmm. and seeing that CG JoJo, I thought that's what, that was how the show was. So honestly, I was disappointed when I saw that JoJo was, you know, traditional 2D.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you could make, you could make a whole show out of just that CG style and it worked well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, that's something too, is that while JoJo characters are typically talking and stuff, they're always talking in dramatic fashions and such. So it would be mm-hmm. a great way to sort of implement that sort of CG, you know. And I say One Piece because One Piece already kind of has a little bit more, it has a lot more aesthetically in common with Lupin than yeah. a lot of other anime I can really think of. And it's mostly because the characters, you know, they're a little bit, they're over exaggerated. So I could see, you know, I could see it working really well. And also I've watched a lot of One Piece cutscenes from Pirate Warriors. And I feel like, yeah, this could work if it was cleaned up and it looked a lot better. Yeah, I could see this working pretty well. I mean, if that Netflix series is CG, it'd be okay, you know? Not live action. Yeah. Why would you do live action One Piece? It's fucking stupid.
Ugh. Imagine trying to do, like, the all the rubber movements in yeah. live action.
Yeah, that'd just be garbage. I could also see a good mo... I could see a good... I could see if you committed to it and you said, we're only going to do CG and make that our constraints, I could see a good Mobile Suit Gundam being completely CG.
Yeah, and in a way, a lot of modern Mobile Suit Gundams already incorporate CG along with traditional animation.
Yeah.
Or 2D animation. So it's already halfway there.
Yeah. And I could see, I could also see Attack on Titan making a good leap to CG.
Dude, if Attack on Titan was CG with this level of quality.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know, I would not do. Just imagine doing the spinning through the air scenes and, like, the, you know, the ODM gear scenes in CG mm-hmm. with the kind of animation that was on display in Lupin the First. Would be fucking shit. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Fit in the nut quality.
That's kind of the sad thing about watching Lupin the Third the First. You can't really go back to anime. It's just too good for anime.
Yeah. I mean, and the only reason that we're even doing this is because I had to check and see if Lupin the Third the First was on Mal. And I said, oh, it's on Mal. Cool, it's the anime then.
Yeah.
But I really feel like it. I think I have a little bit more experience with Lupin the Third than you, possibly.
Yes.
Because it used to air on Adult Swim, and I watched it fairly regularly. And I also watched it when it was on the fifth series or whatever, when it was on Adult Swim 2 at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd seen a good bit of it, and I also I watched one of the movies. I don't think it was Castle of Cagliostro, but anyway, so I'd seen a lot more of it, and it is, you know, it does lend itself to this kind of episodic feel. I mean, there could definitely be a Lupin the Third the Second, and it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because you didn't need to know anything about this character, really. It kind of just, the movie started, and I guess it assumes that you're at least a little bit familiar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because they just barely do this whole, you know, they go, oh, nice save. Thank you, Goemon. Oh, you did it again, Fujiko.
Mm-hmm. But they do a good job of establishing the characters and establishing the relationships with each other. If you don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
I barely know anything about them, and I got the gist of their relationship. Lupin is the leader. Jigen is kind of the quote-unquote muscle. Or no, I guess Goemon would be the muscle.
They're
Jigen
both
is like the...
the muscle.
Yeah, Jigen is kind of the... like the nice... He's the handy sidekick.
Yeah.
Goemon is the mysterious muscle. Fujiko is...
the
you know,
girl.
Just as crafty as Lupin, but, you know, they have the... we're working together, but we're not friends, but we kind of are.
Yeah, there's romantic tension.
Yeah.
Like, there's and a little bit tenacious, yeah.
Zenigata.
I'll get you, Lupin!
They actually do a really good job in the opening sequence with all the gears and the visuals there. With Zenigata, he's like, there he is, get him. And all of his policemen just kind of bump him and he stumbles, which really establishes his character.
Yeah, you definitely know that he is a bumbling cop, which I feel like is kind of, he's kind of the highlight of this show for me, or this movie. He's such an over-exaggerated display on his face. Like, all the characters, well, Lupin and him both have just these over-exaggerated faces.
Yeah.
And it works really well. Isn't, like, his smile, his smile lights up my world.
The gags with Zenigata and the policeman, where it's like two dozen clones just kind of bubbling around, making some kind of like ant farm contraptions to try and catch Lupin, and it's stuff like that really gives it that Lupin the Third feel. Like you could tell that this was based on a work from, when was it?
70s.
A work from the 70s, that kind of traditional manga and the early anime style of that comical relief. And a lot of this movie reminded me of the Adventures of Tintin?
Yeah.
Not just the animation style, but the kind of fanciful adventure style.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, there's this, the anime being from the 70s, you can kind of just see the elements they were really working with into this movie. I think, I my brain just farted for a second, I am sorry.
And it has a lot of those hallmarks of the 70s action adventure, that kind of hand, that suspension of disbelief, like how Jigen shoots his revolvers and the bullet hits the nut on a road sign and doesn't shoot off, but it hits in a way to where the nut turns and unloosens itself. And it's like, it's one of those things that you learn to accept. It's like, okay, that's how this show is going to go.
Oh, well, my nut turns every time that Fujiko's on on the scene.
Fujiko and Leticia. God damn.
I know. Leticia's thighs deserve their own character page on Mal. I mean, though, I had no plans on saying, having any sort of connection with these characters when we came in. I knew that this was just going to be a little fun, little romp of a movie. Mm-hmm. As the tagline says, it's a thrilling new caper, sure to delight fans old and new. Which I feel like is pretty good. I feel like you could be a new fan and you'd be like, hey, man, I want to watch some Lupin afterwards. Because both of us were kind of like, yeah. I want to see some Lupin. So yeah. I feel like if this, it could be a great introduction. Of course, we'll go into it and it'll be 2D and we'll be like, ugh.
Yeah.
2D?
Yeah, that's one of the, I'm fully expecting that, but I will be excited to see more Lupin the Third antics. Just the,
Yeah, just the characters.
Yeah.
I feel that too. Because the characters are really a delight to see, you know, especially, I think it's one of these cool things, like if you have a pre-existing franchise that's exclusively 2D, something or that's primarily made in like 2D, like Sonic, and then you see something like Sonic, you know, the Sonic movie, then it's kind of just charming to see these characters in 3D and see the interpretations that someone had to put on their visual style and all that. Which, again, as someone who watched just a handful of episodes, or maybe like a few handfuls of episodes when it was on Adult Swim, it was just charming to see how they played this character out and what they did to implement him into a 3D world. Especially elements like, you know, the Fiat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool. It was just cool to see. But I mean, as a core movie, where it goes, before we say anything, where it goes, when I finished it and I thought about it as I was brewing coffee, I said, I don't feel like a lot happened that I hadn't seen before already in this movie.
I mean, this is basically an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, basically. It really is an Indiana Jones movie. I could easily see somebody like copy and pasting this into like some crappy blockbuster that people will forget after, you know, maybe 3 months, go on a small little date with a girl they barely know. They watch the movie. They're both like, yeah. Oh, the movie was really good. And they're like, oh, the dinner was really good. And then they never talk to each other afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but I...
Of course.
Yeah, of course. All my dates go extremely well.
Mine too. But it's basically... moving on.
Ha-cha-cha.
I digress too. This is basically a Indiana Jones plot. You have our protagonist meeting the character of the movie, and there's the artifact MacGuffin, and they have to track down the temple in the faraway desert location in order to find the super weapon and keep it from being taken into Nazi hands.
Yeah, that's an Indiana Jones plot, except it's the new Nazis.
Yeah.
With old Grandpa Hitler.
And Geralt, the freaking Hitler fanboy.
Fucking Hitler stan. Jeez, I thought he was... At some point, there's a scene where a picture of Hitler is being threatened with danger, and I thought Geralt or whatever was going to die for it.
I mean, he more or less did.
I'm... And just such a props to the people who had this idea of Hitler and said, Hitler wouldn't shave off that mustache. Come on, guys. It's just like, yeah, I suppose. If that's what you're famous for, it's what you're famous for.
I mean, at that point, it's more of a visual cue. You see a Hitler 99% of the time. Wait, did I say you see a Hitler or did I say mustache?
Yeah, you said you see that Hitler.
You see that mustache. The first thing you think about is Hitler.
Yeah, you don't like...
Case in point, me.
Poor Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. 99.9% of the time, it's Hitler. That 0.1% of the time is Charlie Chaplin.
And I'm thinking nowadays, you'd look at Charlie Chaplin, you'd be like, oh, that's a fucking jaunty-ass Hitler copy.
I mean, it doesn't help that Charlie Chaplin himself once played Hitler in The Great Dictator, so, like, you know, that turns 0.1% to a little lower.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. Say it ain't so, Charlie Chaplin.
Well, you know, it was one of those satirical movies.
Oh, yeah, I gathered.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of satire... the movie doesn't go into sort of a satirical sort of romp on, you know, what these characters are, which I feel like a lot of movies, you know, nowadays, especially coming from Hollywood, would have done that whole thing. They would have done the whole tongue in cheek. Oh, here we go on another heist again. I'm Lupin the Third. Oh boy.
Yeah.
But instead, it takes itself rather seriously, which I appreciate.
Oh yeah.
Because. During the course of this movie, there are a lot of things that really are lighthearted, and you never really feel out of... I never really felt... There's a lot of times when visual story media, whatever, video games, movies, whatever, they start off pretty ordinary, you know? I'm a treasure hunter, and then at the end it becomes, a crypt filled with zombies, and it feels unnatural.
Yeah.
But... And that happens in live action too, but because it was this animated sort of CG anime, I didn't lose focus or get taken out of the experience when we got into the final boss area, which could have easily suffered from that sort of thing, you know?
It did feel weird seeing them going to a temple with anti-gravity devices and miracle machines and like water laser corridors, but it's the antics that they use to solve these trials that kind of bring you back in.
This is true. I feel that. That's definitely, and they're fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going over through Lupin trying to read some stuff in it. Shout out to my boy Kiyoshi Kobayashi, who has been doing the voice of Jigen since the very first anime.
Oh, wow.
In 1971. Good job, dude. You are nailing it.
Nice.
I just was impressed by the fact he has done every single role that he has ever been in, Jigen. He's also the voice of Abdal in the original JoJo OVAs.
Yes, so he is.
He is. Muhammad Abdal.
You gotta add like three extra syllables to it. Muhammad Abdal.
Yes, I am. But just shout out to him, and shout out to the voice actress, Fujiko.
Mm-hmm.
Sawashiro Miyuki, because anytime, I'm just a sucker for Ara Ara. I think this is a known fact at this point. And when she did her Ara thing, I was like, oh good, I'm gonna pre. And now I'm just over here basically saying I am going to watch every single thing she's in.
Mm-hmm.
She was, yeah.
Speaking of voice acting, this is something that I would honestly recommend the dub for. I didn't watch the dub myself. I cannot attest to its quality, but it will do you a service to not have to switch your focus from what you see on the screen to the subtitles, because the subtitles are honestly distracting from the visual spectacle of this movie.
Honestly, I don't know who plays who in the movie. I know that David Hayter played Lupin at some point. And David Hayter is always amazing in whatever role he's in. And I also think that Fujiko is also voiced by Michelle Ruff, who is also my girl. I love Michelle Ruff's voice.
Let's see. Unfortunately, I don't see David Hayter on the cast list for this. We have Lupin the Third being played by Tony Oliver in English.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Richard Epcar for Jigen.
Huh.
And then Lex Lang for Goemon.
Lex Lang! Well, apparently Christopher Sabat does the voice of Jigen in some franchise as well.
Hmm.
That is a very Chris Sabat character, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, after just hearing that aura, I was in it to win it. I am hugely crushing on Fujiko, and I'm at the inappropriate age where I don't realize how old I am, so every time I see like an older woman character, I'm like, wow, so attractive, and then older women are so hot, and then, oh wait a minute, they're my age.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get this weird disconnect where I feel like I'm falling to my death slowly but surely.
It's this nice aesthetic with Fujiko, and that she is peak 70s femme fatale style.
Oh yeah, you love those strong, powerful, independent women like that. They're very cool characters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially ones who are like her, who are very manipulative and who are just fun to see them in their antics. You know, obviously she's a little bit more of a that sort of character. He's like, I'm in it for the monies, and then
yeah,
but it's still charming enough to see her act.
It's definitely a character trope you've seen before. She cares about the money, but, you know, she just can't say no to that Lupin.
Yeah, who can say no to Lupin?
Not even Zenigata.
Well, Zenigata... Zenigata and his just Lupin chasing. That's one of the things I remember distinctly from the original dub is, I'll get you, Lupin!
Mm-hmm.
Come back here, Lupin! Which I think also is why I would recommend the dub, because it's very an episodic show, and it does have that sort of, or the original show is very episodic, so it kind of lends itself to maybe being a Saturday morning cartoon, but not for kids.
Yeah.
So it could really work for a dub, and I like your point was earlier, watch it with the dub, because you want to pay attention to what's happening on screen. You don't want to have to do the glance up, simul reading, whatever you do. You would be better off just experiencing it with that sort of thrill of being able to just participate in the scene-by-scene action. And there's a lot that goes on that detail-wise that's just really fun to see, and it's something that I know a lot of times when we discuss anime, people are just so hostile towards the concept of CG anime or CG implementation in anime. And I'm all about good storytelling. I'm not about keeping up these rules that you have to have this for it to be anime. If you can make a good ass CG anime that thrills and entertains me a la Beastars, then I'm all about it. I don't think it's very helpful for the innovators and storytellers out there to have to restrict themselves to an artistic medium just to fulfill the desires of people who don't see it as being, you know, anime unless they do one singular route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus you just close yourself off to what can be, like you said, incredible stories that, you know, just because it's not in the 2D style doesn't mean you can't watch it and enjoy it. Like how just because Neo Yokio isn't on my anime list doesn't mean it's not anime.
I was about to say, you have to use Neo Yokio as your example. Why can't you just use fucking something good like Avatar? Well, Avatar is one of those things that'll actually get you, like, murdered in this fucking community if you say it's anime.
Yeah. That's definitely, like, a sketchy... I mean, anime is a medium, not a genre. So, it gets very fuzzy lines when considering that anime is employing styles and other artistic techniques that other mediums use. So it's like, what's an anime, what's not? Nobody knows. So just shut up and stop debating and watch the damn show.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree on that. It doesn't matter what anime is, as long as anime is fulfilling being entertainment. I mean, like, I think one of the things that kind of irks me, and I've had this discussion so many times, but it's not fair to say it's not anime just because it doesn't come from Japan, because, hey, what if you can't help where you're born, and what if somebody wants to create something anime and they're just unfortunately stuck in Lithuania or something like that? Unfortunately, I do not mean that. I mean, unfortunately, circumstances to where they cannot make anime because they are in a country that isn't Japan. Not that Lithuania is a bad country. I don't know why I'm explaining myself too much about this.
Fellas, you ever be Lithuanian?
But, like, you put it on the other foot. What if you live in Japan and you want to make a cartoon reminiscent of Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny, but you can't really do that? You make a cartoon, you work it, somebody will look at it and say, Japan, anime, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I mean, you do have those, every season you have those shows at the bottom of my anime list. Not the bottom of the score, bottom of the presentation, where you have, like, I don't know, Elderly Helper, Oe-san.
Yeah?
Is that anime? It fits all the rules of these other shows we call anime. But no, it's just like a cartoon, like a cartoon show meant for young kids to, like, teach them morals and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like we're fighting over this definition for no reason.
Yeah. And that's kind of what ties us into Lupin the Third, the First, is that I think it's, you know, I think it's anime. I think that it achieves the aesthetic of anime. I think it tells a story that maybe is not unique to anime. These kind of heists, these sort of stories, we see them ad nauseum in Hollywood. But it's one of these sort of stories that really lends itself to that sort of anime, you know, aesthetic in these characters. And so it really works well for itself. But if I restricted myself to that, it's not 2D, it can't be anime, we wouldn't have it on this show. And that sucks, because I really enjoyed the experience I had with Lupin the Third, the First.
Yeah.
I want more movies like this. I think that you could present this to your family. You could show them this movie dubbed. And they wouldn't know it was anime. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially considering something like I said before, Adventure of Tintin.
Yeah.
Something like this doesn't... The only thing that's, like, archetypical anime would be some of the hijinks, like the character movements and dialogue choices.
Yeah. And there's no panty shots.
Which, you know, can be appreciated. It's a...
Would have been appreciated in this. I want to see Kujiko's panties.
Well, you know, blessed if you do, blessed if you don't.
I mean, listen here. The entire time we were watching this, I was like, I am in love with this fictional woman.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would screen cap if they had a panty shot, like a gratuitous panty shot. But I'm also glad that they didn't. Yeah. From an artistic snob perspective, I'm glad they did not.
Yeah, that definitely would have brought it to anime territory. Hard anime territory is where the panty shot lives.
This is truly the philosophical debate of the ego, the id, and the superego. We want all of these contrasting things. Like, give me that panty shot. No, we are better without it. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I feel that. I want entertainment, but also my dick wants to see panties. And I never understood the concept of why people wanted panties until I saw a woman who wouldn't show her panties. That sounds a little bit sketchy, huh?
That sounds really sketchy.
I gotta fill my quota of sketchy things per episode, you know, like, I gotta get at least one thing that'll get people to question whether I'm a felon of some sort, a sexual predator. Be it cult, be it noticing tits on a fifth grader. Are saying how I would sexually engage in relationships with some eyebrows. You know, it'd be like that. I gotta get one.
At least one a day.
Yeah, at least one an episode. You know, I bet just one a day. One a day, men's. But this movie is pretty thrilling. We both had a moment where we didn't talk, and that's how you know shit's good, when Brad and I don't talk to each other and try to bant.
Yeah.
During the final little action sequence, we were not talking.
Yeah, I forgot I was in a watch party. I was just engrossed in it.
Same, I was too. I just needed to see how Lupin got out of it as he was being thrown from. The final boss really liked him some throws.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the things is that I think Lupin lends itself, this movie especially lends itself to being entertainment. Not, you don't have to have your brain completely on, because then you'd be like, well, why do they have this device? What the fuck is this? How did he get the bullets? What the hell is this happening? I just turned my brain off a little bit and I had entertainment. It wasn't mindless entertainment at all. No, I mean, it was.
Oh,
what?
Finish up your thought. I just remembered something.
Well, now my thought's finished. You just orgasmed in my ear.
That reminded me of how, like, what you were saying reminded me of all of the text that we saw. Not only was it, like, beautifully crisp, but it was coherent.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The note at the beginning was actual coherent French. Like, you're a French student, so you can understand it. Meanwhile, I look at it, and it's like, yep, that's French. But you were able to read it and, like, get the gist of what it was saying, and yeah, it was like perfectly, well, perhaps not perfectly, but I guess the English would be the best example. There were some English parts in this movie, like some pages, and not only could you read it and it would make perfect sense, like it was written by an actual English speaker, mm-hmm. but it was pertinent information towards the plot of the movie. Like you said, you caught a page and you read a line that said, this book has a pin and a bomb in it, where if you try to pick it, it'll explode. Yeah. And that came up later. Lupin the Third brought that up.
Yeah, and that happened multiple times, is that text, like the thesis that she had, I read a little bit of it and it was coherent. The detail on display in this movie is un-freaking real. The mm-hmm. cookie tin had It had nutritional values on it.
It had a net weight on it.
Yeah, it had the net weight. I said, just go ahead and just shit on everybody else trying to make movies, team.
I can remember how that can of food in the crate he was hiding, it was 235 grams.
Yeah, it was wild, just the detail on display in every single piece of this film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something to be said for people who are making movies and saying that these details need to be had.
Yeah.
Makes the world feel more real.
It rewards you for paying attention.
Yeah, if you like the little, if you're detail oriented and you like the little details, it'll be something you relish in. And it's not something that I go out of my way when we're watching an anime and they pick up a soda and I go, soda didn't have nutritional value, experience ruined. But just the fact that some dude got a note on his desk and said, yo, give this tin of cookies a weight. And somebody had to go and say, how much do cookies typically weigh?
Yeah.
That's impressive to me. The sheer devotion to making this movie actually have quality and not just be some sort of shallow little, you know, just some shallow entry in a film franchise. Just, you know, it's a popular franchise in Japan. They could have easily phoned it in on a lot of ends, but they seem to just revere the character and say, Lupin the Third needs this kind of detail. Yeah. And that's wicked awesome, dude.
I mean, it's vastly popular in Japan. I mean, for God's sakes, they have Lupin the Third bubblegum.
I can go for some Lupin the Third bubblegum. I mean, hell, we were doing preliminary research before we came into this, and I was looking at all the Lupin the Third franchise, and Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan. Whoever That's wins, pretty cool. we lose. That's wild. That's just amazing to me that, you know, we live in America, so we have these popular, these cultural, you know, cornerstones like Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny. But over in Japan, they're rocking the same sort of thing with Lupin the Third and all that other stuff. And that's wild to me that they're existing in their own unit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're legacy characters.
Yeah, and it's always great to see these long-lasting franchises have those little crossover events like Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan, Devilman Crybaby, Devilman versus Cyborg 009.
Yeah.
Just odd little things like that.
Didn't,
what was it? Detective Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright?
Yeah. Didn't Mazinger Z fight somebody at some point?
I'm sure he did. Let's see.
I'm sure Mazinger Z fought at least... He fought somebody, I'm sure. He fought Ultraman. Why not? Mazinger Z... if it's
there
not...
Was that one, there was that one movie where... No, it wasn't Ultraman. It was Jet Jaguar, who was I think was an Ultraman stand-in.
Oh, there is one. There are several films where Mazinger Z was fighting Gitter Robo and Devilman. All right, cool. Devilman could take Mazinger Z, right?
I don't know. I don't know much about Mazinger Z.
Mazinger Z seems like something you'd be into, though.
I tell you what, they would be into is that Tamashii Nation Mazinger Z super figure. God damn, the box was sexy.
Oh, dude, it's been a year since conventions have been over. Every single figure out there looks sexy to me. I just want to browse.
Yeah.
I want to say, oh, I better not spend my money on that instead of going, trapped in my room. But, you know, there's a lot of escapades in this film that are just fun. It's a fun movie.
It's fun movie.
Fun movie. It just came out like a few months ago. It came out in October 2020. So it's relevant. Look at us. We did a relevant thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. We were either going to do this or the Daft Punk anime music video.
Which we still might do.
Which we still might do.
Rest in peace.
Oh, in the arms of an angel. One more time. Man, I'm just going to put on some Daft Punk after we finish this episode.
Yeah.
Cry in silence. So, should you check out this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can you check out this movie?
Don't ask that question. You can, I think this movie's on stream. You can stream it off of YouTube if you want. We did.
We pulled our own little Lupin Third.
We did, didn't we? I completed a heist of my own. This is not indicative of what I actually did. I'm just making jokes. Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube.
Let's see.
Why the fuck does this? Why the fuck does this movie have a 6.9 on IMDb? Get your shit together.
See, according to JustWatch.com, Lupin the Third, the first, can be found. Rented on Google Play, YouTube, Redbox, Apple TV, Amazon, all that other stuff. And you can buy it on Apple TV, Amazon, Google same stuff.
You can buy it also on DVD and Blu-ray. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You can get it for $13.39 from Walmart.com. You
for
know
Blu-ray?
What? For Blu-ray.
Hot damn.
Yeah, I know. I'm buying it right now. Dude, this movie's excellent. I want to show this to more people.
Yeah. Dude, what if it has bonus features?
They don't do bonus features anymore.
I
want the bonus features. Yeah, no. $13.39 on Walmart right now. That includes the Blu-ray and the DVD.
Shit.
Treat yourself. Get yourself a free membership for Walmart Plus. Get you free shipping. Cancel that order. Cancel that membership in 30 days. Get yourself Lupin the first on Blu-ray and DVD. And get yourself that 3-year warranty plan so you can get you two copies. One copy for watching, one copy for fucking around with.
Get you three copies. One is to have, one is to use, and one is to loan out to friends.
Ah, yeah, that's nice. I like that Lucky Star reference.
Yay.
I am seriously buying this right now, though. Live on the pod.
I mean, I believe it. You literally bought Abenobashi on the pod when I just mentioned it by name.
I buy a lot of things on the pod. Let's be honest. Sometimes we have like long times where Brad talks exclusively me, and I'll be like looking up figures of characters and I'll put them in my cart and forget about them. And then I'll come back and I'll be like, ooh, I want that figure. Thank you, past me, who was not paying attention like a butt munch. Get this shipped to my house. Anyway, so final scores and thoughts.
I'm gonna give this a 9.
That's a good score.
I'm holding back because, you know, I watched it for the first time and I have the stars in my eyes. So
yeah,
I'm going to need to, recency bias. I'm going to need some time to think and maybe a rewatch, but it's definitely up there. It's at 8.5 at least. I feel like it deserves a 9. I don't know. It might just deserve a 10.
I don't know.
But that's going to require a rewatch.
Yeah, I'd rewatch it before I gave it a 10. I mean,
I have to submit that to the committee.
I gave Tokyo Godfathers a 10, and then I watched it again, and I said, yeah, this is a 10.
Yeah.
But, it's a fun movie. It's a whole lot of fun. I recommend it. It's going to get you into Lupin, and I think it will, because I'm literally going to go watch the woman known, or woman called Fujiko Mine after this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a simp. Simperai Jack. But I give this an 8.5. I don't know if 9 feel how much the story does retread on being your typical, you know, Indiana Jones movie. It didn't head in any directions which surprised me or left me particularly engaged in seeing where they went. But the characters were fun. And everything else was fun. The visual spectacle alone would give this show this movie an 8.
Yeah.
If you are just someone who likes pretty movies and pretty CG, then yes, this will be all for you. So I'll give it an 8.5, maybe a 9, maybe a 9. I'll rewatch it and get I'll post an update so that all two of you who care can read it.
You'll post it somewhere into the void.
Yeah, and somebody will see it and be like, oh, well, I'm glad he did give it a 9.
I'm glad we watched this.
Me too. This is kind of an ass pull on my part. We needed a movie. And I said, I want to watch Lupin the first. It looks good. And so then I posted it, and you accepted, which shocked me to my core.
Yeah, I mean, we have another Lupin the 3rd work coming up in the distant future.
Yes, in the merry month of May. Spoilers.
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 But that has been Lupin the 3rd, the 1st. And we have been Otaku Melancholy the last. We have been your host,
Matt.
And Brad. Catch us every single Tuesday on our website at otakumelancholy.com. Catch us every Friday for the foreseeable future for our Otaku on Titan series. You can also check us out on our website for our previous episodes and where we're hosted, as well as our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord.
And a very special shout out to Maximus, arrow parentheses Ness, and all Bryans, Braumian, Spyrid, and Get Crunk for joining the server. And also a very special thanks to Syrups for boosting the server, and to Syrups for boosting the server. Thank you guys so much for joining the server to hang out with us and talk anime and just do whatever. And also thank you Syrups for boosting the server, and Syrups for boosting the server. Yeah, when that person joined, that was the highlight of my day.
There's also Baby Blue.
Alright.
Okay, get the fuck out of here, Baby Blue. We already gave you a shout out. What more do you want?
Oh my god, dude. It turns out that Craig's really on the ball. Before he finishes posting the episode, he says, hey, shout outs now.
Yeah.
Craig is on this shit. If you join the day before a podcast releases, you will be in it.
Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly. Anyways, speaking of people who begrudgingly did things, today's quote comes from Arthur Conan Doyle, who you may know as the author of the Shakespeare stories. What the fuck, man? The author of the Sherlock Holmes stories. Come on, dude. Why are you dropping the ball so much? And as he once said, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the anime.
You killed me.
Then perish.
Just close us out.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Gambate. You okay?
Arthur Conan Doyle, author of Shakespeare's... Shakespeare's what, Matt?
I'm sorry, I'm not here completely.
なきゃ信じないよ。